Hi, it's Rebecca Whitman, your host of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm a top-rated life coach, an international best-selling author, and a multi-passionate entrepreneur. I'm on a mission to help you go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. The experts on this show will help you achieve work-life balance so that you can experience abundance in seven pillars of life: spirituality, health, emotions, romance, mindset, social, and financial life. When you have all seven pillars of life in alignment, you are balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Let's go. Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. We are taking you from burned out, stressed, and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And today I have a wonderful guest, Heather Chauvin. Welcome to the show, Heather.
Thank you, Rebecca. I'm excited for this conversation.
I'm so excited. And your work speaks so well to the mission of the show of helping women overcome burnout. With Heather's teachings, you will feel aligned, find fulfillment in your relationship, and have more energy in your day. And she is the author of the book, Dying to Be a Good Mother. So I know you have a really powerful story. There's a huge life-changing moment in that story. Can you tell my audience a little bit about how you got into the space of empowering women to live a balanced lifestyle?
Yeah. I love telling this story, and I always reflect on the journey of kind of who I am today and how I got here. But the magic of my story is that it wasn't actually the big moment that people think it was that kind of shifted things for me. So my background is actually in social work, and I have three boys, and they're currently 18, 13, and 10. And I was a young single mom. I was actually 18 when I had my oldest. And that was my moment. So mothering was the thing that cracked me open and rocked me. And immediately I felt like I was failing, like that primal instinct to do the things right and perfectly. I was already failing. I was already doing it backwards. And that was my first moment of, you know, when the fear kicks into overdrive and you start to overperform. So I was doing the things and I was getting pats on the back culturally that I was being a good mother, you know, like being superwoman, all the things. And slowly, that's when you start to notice those feelings inside of you where you're like, I'm chronically fatigued. I'm getting angry and resentful and reactive, and my health is deteriorating. And I'm actually seeking out professional help. But the support and the energy that's coming back to me is, oh, honey, suck it up, buttercup. This is adulthood. Like, this is what it is to be a parent. And like, yep, it's only going to get worse from here. So fast forward, I go to school, I get the corporate job. I'm still getting the pats on the back. Everyone's so proud of me and I feel dead inside. And I can see the train wreck that's going to come in my future. And I'm in my job thinking like, not this, not this, not this. I'm going home being hypocritical and not knowing how to manage my big emotions, reacting, seeing my son's behavior, and just feeling absolute defeated. Fast forward, I finally leave my corporate job. I sign the papers. And at this time, now I have three kids, and my youngest is a year old. And I'm building my business in the startup phase, absolutely terrified, still trying to do it all. And I'm diagnosed with a stage 4 cancer. And it was in that moment, my business itself was really focused on conscious parenting. It was focused on seeing and understanding children's behavior. And the feedback I kept getting from women that I was working with, parents, was, Heather, this is great, but I don't have time to implement these tools. I don't have the capacity. I'm so angry and resentful. I'm unfulfilled in my career. My marriage is falling apart. My health isn't the greatest. And I just feel like I'm playing whack-a-mole. But it was with my diagnosis when I realized, like, okay, We need to stop pretending that this is just a child issue, that this is just a behavioral issue. And we need to look at the holistic perspective that, you know, we live in a culture where dying to be good, dying physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually is what we are rewarded for. And there I am facing, you know, cultural expectations and going, I did what you told me to do. And also facing my biggest fear. And I had to kind of jump in and step into like how I wanted to feel and leave the toxic culture of motherhood and womanhood, learn how to hold those boundaries, not only with myself, but with other people and society at large, while navigating how do I attend to my needs while also attending to my children's needs, while also going after what's inside of me in the bigger vision and dreams and not letting those die. So yeah, that's my story in a nutshell.
That is a lot. So when you had the three kids, you said your overdrive to be a perfect mother kicked in. Had you always been a perfectionist up until you were a mom?
No. Previously to being a mother, obviously I didn't have a lot of adulthood years under my belt. I was the rebellious teenager. I was a critical thinker. I was a quote unquote thought leader. I questioned everything. Like, why do we have to do this? You know, this isn't going to get me from point A to point B. Like, I questioned my teachers. I questioned my parents. And of course, when you question anything and you don't go with the flow of traffic, adults don't like that. The traditional model does not like that. And so instead of being nurtured to have my own thought and, you know, how does that feel to you? Is that, you know, all of that? It wasn't. It was squashed. So I actually was an incredibly anxious, sensitive, and depressive tendency teenager where the world, the weight of that world and all that stress just caused me to shrink. And so I just kind of like, whatever, and just became a little Eeyore-like, which is why I am so incredibly passionate about children and teens' mental health and emotional well-being. But it was interesting because when I became a mother, I still didn't identify as a people pleaser. There's definitely perfectionist tendencies, and I think there was in my earlier days as well, but the perfection just caused me to lack of action instead of overachieving. Yeah, it was interesting because I was performing to please other people because I was so afraid of failing at my primal task or role as a mother. But then that little rebel inside of me and the questioner started asking, and now she's fully, not fully, but she's integrated back into like the rebel, the questioner, while also still being ambitious, but not burning out.
So was it your biological drive to like take care of these small kids, or was it like societal pressure? Like, oh, I have to prove to everyone that I can be a good mom because I'm a young single mom. Like, what do you think caused the crash and burn?
Yeah, I think it was just a combination of everything. You know, by the time I had my second and third, I was married and it looked more traditional. I was definitely looked younger than everyone else that was having children, had children before all my friends. But I think it was a combination of everything. I think, you know, our trauma comes up when we want to step up and into our different version of ourselves. The interesting part was, like, at the time of my diagnosis, I had 9 years under my belt of personal development. So very early on, even before I could financially support it, I was seeking support. I started reading the book and listening to podcasts and attending workshops and webinars and getting mentors and going to retreats and not having the funds to do it specifically. But I started like educating myself on that. And so I knew that how I felt was not quote unquote normal, even though it was perceived as normal. But I think it was a concoction of many things. Sure, primal, generational trauma, lack of nutrients, lack of self-care, and just the compound effect of, you know, managing your nervous system and stress management.
Why is self-care so important, not just for moms, but for everyone who's, you know, taking the more challenging path of being an entrepreneur?
Yeah. I think I always say parenting is personal growth on steroids. Entrepreneurship is personal growth on steroids. Marriage is personal growth on steroids. And I don't know how people build a quote unquote successful business without taking care of themselves. I just don't know how people do that. Because the people who see that they are an asset in their business as an entrepreneur are the ones that typically grow faster. They're scaling faster. They're more open. You know, they have like that growth mindset versus the fixed mindset. And the interesting part about the term self-care to me, because I think it's incredibly overused and people misperceive it as like pedicures or, you know, things that cost money. I actually see it as self-respect and self-value. If you don't value yourself enough to realize that you're worth like 10 minutes of your time, or you're worth a meal or hydration or like the basics, you will not see your value. No one will see your value in your business as an entrepreneur. And then you start to undervalue yourself. So if you are not attending to your basic human needs, your, you know, physical, emotional, like all the things, it's gonna show up in your business as well. And I see that for a lot of my clients who are like, this isn't working. I'm like, yes, but energetically, you're not showing up as a professional, but yet you want to attract these professional people. You need to start showing up. You need to start leading. You need to start role modeling and acting as if, because if you're not doing the, what I call emotionally uncomfortable work, hence the name of my podcast, other people are not going to want to learn from you or buy from you because you're not in alignment and in integrity with your values.
Your podcast is called Emotionally Uncomfortable.
Yeah. It used to be called Mom is in Control. And then last year it was renamed Emotionally Uncomfortable, because when it started as Mom is in Control, it was because women who were seeking parenting support wanted to feel in control. And it never sat well with me. And it felt very like masculine and like control. And then when they started listening to me, they're like, oh, okay, this isn't about being controlling. This is me feeling out of control emotionally. And then over time, I felt very disconnected from the term mom. And I'm like, I am so much more, although mothering and motherhood is a huge part of my message and my brand, but I am so much more than that. And we are so much more than that. And I wanted to have a deeper conversation about, you know, it's not that we can do hard things. I don't believe in we can do hard things. I believe in we can do emotionally uncomfortable things, because we have to be very careful that we're not buying into hustle culture of like, just do more, just lean in, just push that edge. And I'm like, we're very good at the doing, but we're not very good at the being. So when you tell someone, hey, you want to do that emotionally uncomfortable thing, you want to be on that podcast, you want to get those clients, you have to put yourself out there. That is going to trigger your emotional stuff. And if you don't know how to lean in, sending an email is not life-threatening. All you have to do is type it out 10 minutes and hit submit. But all of the emotions that come up and out, if you don't know how to manage that, that's going to take you out. It's going to sabotage you. It's going to all of that. So yeah, on the podcast, I talk a lot about emotional intelligence, managing your big emotions, and how to like understand all of that, so you can like play this game and win this game so that you can find alignment in your life.
I love that, because I believe that everything that we want is out of our comfort zone. Yeah. And it's emotionally uncomfortable, not like time management uncomfortable, where we're pushing ourselves. So that brings me to my next question. Heather, how can we be more productive while not subscribing to the hustle and grind culture, which is the masculine paradigm of productivity?
So I always ask people, how do you want to feel? And sometimes people will say, I want to feel productive. And I don't believe that productivity is a feeling. Like, that's not, if you looked at a feelings chart, productivity is not there. Mm-hmm. Productivity is this, it's like a marketing strategy. It's like something that someone created to market to, like, get more done, right? It's this whole, it's like hustle culture, get more done. Great. But what is the actual feeling that you are after? So post-cancer, almost 9 years ago, I was reading Danielle Laporte's book. So I love Danielle Laporte. And her book was called Desire Map. It just came out. And I was into this whole personal development world on the woo-woo side, manifestation, all of that. But I wanted the practical application of it. I didn't just want to sit there and meditate. It was like, I knew I needed to do more, but I didn't know exactly what I needed to do. So overall in that book, Desire Map, she kept saying, it's not the thing that you want, it's the feeling. So write down everything that you want. And what is the feeling behind it? You want a new house. You want to go on the vacation. You want more money. You want to lose the weight. You want to stop yelling at your kids. You want more connection. You want your partner to do this. Like, whatever it is, all the wants, all the needs, all the desires. Look at the feeling. So I took it one step further and I created something called energetic time management, where I started managing my energy, not my time. So I took all the things that I desired and I use a journal prompt and I use it to this day and I tell everybody to use it. It's, wouldn't it be nice if? Wouldn't it be nice if? Because it doesn't feel so confronting. Like, it's not like, what do you want? And you're like, oh God, I don't know, because I'm going to fail. I don't want to take action. So I'm like, let's just take all the pressure off. Let's wave a magic wand. Wouldn't it be nice if? You're like, oh gosh, wouldn't it be nice if I got a good night's sleep? Wouldn't it be nice if I took Friday off? Wouldn't it be nice if, you know, whatever. You write it all down and then look at the feelings that are coming up. You're going to get things like freedom. I guarantee you, you may say productive. Great. You might say, oh, I want to feel productive, whatever. But you have to understand, you can't logically feel your way through something. You actually have to get out of your head and into your body. And that is the work. That's the thing where someone's like, I'm trying to logically step by step my process out of this so I can avoid the fear and the uncertainty and all those feelings. So I started taking things like, I want to feel alive. I felt dead inside. I was sick. I was at my rock bottom. I had no energy. I want to feel alive. I want to feel energized. I want to feel fulfilled. Okay. What are those things that I need to do? I had no idea because, to be honest, my identity was wrapped around fatigue, exhaustion, serving my children, serving everybody else. And I was used to feeling dead inside. I was used to feeling overwhelmed and depleted. So then I had to start testing things. I had to start becoming that type of person that would like push the envelope a little bit. So the ETM process is taking those energized or alive activities and putting that on my calendar first. So the strategy was putting it on my calendar first. So I started
is energy time management.
Energetic time management.
Energetic time management. Okay.
So I started putting those activities on my calendar first. So I'm like, okay, what would an alive version of me do? Well, she's probably not going to cry in fetal position in bed all day. She's going to get up, take a shower, sit on the porch for 10 minutes because that's all the energy I had then. Great. Done for the day. Check the box. And I would physically put it on the calendar because I desired certain things and it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And there's a story that I tell a lot where I went to a cafe. This is before, Instagram was what it is today. And I was like, I don't know. I think alive, happy, energized people sit at a cafe spending, drinking an overpriced latte and they journal. But I was still breastfeeding. I still had a young child, but I had the courage to ask my partner, my husband, to be like, watch your own damn child. And I'm going to go to the cafe. So I get up the courage to do that. And I felt the complete opposite of joyful, energized, and alive. I felt guilt, right? Mm-hmm. I felt guilt. I was incredibly overwhelmed. And I sat there and I cried the whole time. But what I realized and what I tell people is if your cup, like you as a person, is full of guilt and shame and resentment and anger and fatigue and like low level energy, you have to like almost choke it out. You have to literally start pouring those things out of your cup, detox them from your physical body, your mental body, before you will feel the energy, before you feel the joy. So I started just testing like, okay, go back to that cafe. Okay, cry some more. And I would cry less and less and less, but I had to sit with my guilt in order to get to those feelings of joy, ease, energy, and being really proud of myself. And that is emotionally uncomfortable. Sit and feel the guilt, but do that little thing anyways. So people always ask me, how do you get over guilt? How do you get over fear? I'm like, I don't know. And I've never met anybody who is pursuing something that does not feel those things. By asking that question, we are asking, how do I not feel my feelings? And we have to feel both sides in order to get to that freedom, in order to get to the joy. So productivity, I'm assuming when people say that is they want to feel accomplished. They want to feel proud of themselves. They want to feel content. Like I did enough today. They want to feel enoughness. But if you want to get there, you're also going to have to feel your not enoughness. You're also going to have to feel those feelings that you want to run and hide from.
I love that because people want to not feel their feelings. Sometimes in the transformation community, it's like, oh, well, I don't want to be negative and I can't feel my feelings if they're too negative and I just want to fake it till I make it. But that is what ends up in disease, which might have been, you know, part of the path to your diagnosis. And it's okay to sit there in a cafe and cry and feel your feelings. And if you feel guilty for being a mom or whatever it is you feel guilty for, so many people feel guilt, feel the guilt and then do it anyway. And then you keep showing up and then the guilt will get less and less and less. I think the same thing is true with grief. You mm-hmm. have to feel the grief. It doesn't just go away. I'm grieving the loss of a soulmate dog and mm-hmm. I'm like just feeling my feelings and everyone's like, get another dog, get another dog, get another dog. And I'm like, that's not for me, the path that I want to go on, because I do want to feel the feelings of grief. And I know on the other side of that, I will be ready to get another dog. And I think you're saying with mom guilt, it's the same way. So as far as mom guilt goes, why do you think so many moms feel like it's an either or? Like they can either be a great mom or a great businesswoman or a great thought mm-hmm. leader. How can we change that paradigm where it's not like either or, like you can be a great mom and do something else?
Yeah, I think the either or comes from perfection, which mm-hmm. is like a coping strategy and like an ego-based thing. Again, I think maybe sprinkle a little patriarchy in there and many, many other things. And I don't know the answer to that of like, I think you have to get to this space in yourself to say, I did enough today. I know that I still have to challenge my mind of like, oh, you need to do this more. You need to do that more. And is that true? Right. So there's a lot of self-coaching that is required and awareness. The interesting part is I attract a lot of working women raising children, professional, business owners, corporate, doesn't matter. When I'm talking to a woman who doesn't have children or raising children, she still feels the same guilt and it's manifesting different ways in her life. And I see a lot of women in general doing this at home. Like, yes, they're killing it at home or they're killing it at work, but they're still transferring that guilt into their work. And I see a lot of women doing that with money. Like, oh, I feel guilty for charging for my services. I'm willing to invest hundreds of thousands of dollars in my education, but I feel bad charging people. And I'm like, but you realize that you're taking away from the flow of the giving and receiving. And that itself is healing. And so this, like this or that, or this or that, we're really disconnected. And people can say masculine, feminine, healing your feminine. You can say whatever the heck you want, but having like a decade observing the online space, you have to also just declutter everything and say, what feels right for me right now in this season of my life? And I don't think you can perfectly balance everything all at one time. The way I like to see it is all the buckets of my life are like, if I see all every area of my life as a bucket. And there was something I talked about in my TEDx talk. It was like the sustainable ambition triangle that I made up. And at the bottom was survival mode. And then it went to momentum. And then it went to this thrival state. And then it was like creative abundance. And it's like, we have these little ladders that we can go on. If I'm living in survival mode in all areas of my life, which is typically what we are taught culturally, just have enough. Don't do too much. Then you're greedy, right? Just have enough. So when you're living in survival mode in all areas, parenting, your self-care, a relationship, career, money, all of this, time, energy, you do feel like you're running around trying to balance everything. But if you get to the state of momentum or thrival, you can kind of like not need to be so attentive to certain areas of your life and feel like you have more capacity. So on a daily basis, I'm not like, okay, this week I'm going to have this one-on-one time with this child and this one-on-one. And then me and my husband, we're going to connect every night at this time. Well, no, it's like just flow with your life. I know that I'm in healthy relationships when we can actually be away from each other and it doesn't explode in our face. Or when COVID happened, I said to my husband, I'm having deja vu because I had to be in isolation. I had to like isolate myself from the world. I was like, wow, this is so deja vu for me. But I also had all that time. I realized when COVID hit, when I got diagnosed, what areas of my life were in survival mode because shit hit the fan and everything kind of broke down. And so everything that was in survival mode, I got it to a state of thriving. So then when COVID happened, not only did we not go into survival state financially, physically, mentally, all of those things in our parenting, in our marriage, I was able to give back. So when other people were in a survival state, like our local food bank, and they were getting no donations, I went out door to door with a whole bunch of other people, and people put food on their steps, and we picked it up. And it was like I could give back because I was overflowing, right? Whether that was my time, my energy, money. And so when people say to me, I know, Heather, but I feel so guilty. I feel bad. I'm like, guilt is incredibly selfish. It is so freaking selfish. And if you realize you leading your life personally behind closed doors in your house or professionally, you're living in a state of survival, everyone can feel it. And there's a ripple effect. But if you are thriving, people might be triggered and be like, oh, must be nice. But then there's people watching you going, she inspires me. And that is how we break generational patterns. We don't break it by being rescuers and doing everybody else's work for them. We literally break generational patterns by becoming the type of person that we want everyone else to be. And that has incredibly, greatly impacted as I'm raising my boys or watching them grow up And every single person, like I have had friends, colleagues, my team say to me, watching you lead is inspiring. You show up, you have the hard conversations, you process rather quickly. I don't like it inspires me and it makes my life easier as I'm leading other people.
That's so beautiful because I believe the best way to lead is through example. And I've written a book too, but I live the principles of my book. So I believe that those who can't do it, teach it, and those who can't teach it, write about it. Mm. And you are actually doing it and leading. So that's a beautiful thing. So looking back on the journey that you've been on, what would you tell the 18-year-old Heather who was a single mom if you could sit her down today? At the age you are and the wisdom you have right now?
Someone asked me this the other day. It was like my younger self. And of course I started crying and I'm like, oh, do I cry every time someone asks me this question? I would tell her to keep going and that it, you know, life feels really hard and really heavy right now because a lot of stuff has been put on your shoulders that is not yours to carry. And the journey is not about doing to perform. It's about unlearning and letting go. And the more you do that and the lighter you feel, you will find your true self and just keep hanging on to her because she's the one you need.
That is so beautiful. So it's not about just doing and performing. It's about surrendering and letting go and being in the flow of life instead of resisting life and pushing and clawing and scraping your way to goals and to, you know, approval. It's about surrendering and flowing. And I think that is such a beautiful message. And just to close out this interview, if you could have one thing on a billboard or side of the bus, and I know we're kind of getting to that message right now, what would that message be?
I thought about this a lot, and I think it would be the secret that you're looking for is to feel alive.
I love that. And that is like your energetic management system. Is that what you were saying? How you create your schedule? Like you put the things on it that make you feel alive first, and then everything else you schedule around that. Isn't that what you were saying?
Yeah. And it was interesting because when in the personal development process, like there's always that area of your life that's challenging you. It was first parenting, then it was business, then it was money, then it was my health, then it was my marriage. And every single time, the answers were always within me. And so the more me I become, the more present I can be for all those areas of my life. And so I just tell people, I'm like, the more alive you become, you're searching for your purpose. You think your purpose is some type of business that you're going to start. Your purpose is beyond business. It's beyond motherhood. It's beyond your relationships. The purpose is to be you, to feel good. So the better you feel, that's literally what you're searching for. It's not going to be found in some magic solution, some three-step process. Just become more of you. Attend to your energy. What do you want? What do you desire? And yes, that's the energetic time management process, is get clear on that and then reverse engineer it. And everything feels so much easier. Of course, as you're implementing, and there's always extra layers, but become you first.
Because when you are your true authentic self and you're filled up and you're happy, you're going to become a better spouse. You're going to become a better mom and you're going to become more attractive and more people are going to want to do business with you. So that is definitely the key. You know, we want to do all this outside stuff and do all this strategy because we think if we get something, it's going to make us happy. But that's like external validation. We get to be happy first, and then everything else will just magnetize to us.
Yep.
Amazing. Well, this was such an inspiring interview, Heather. I know my listeners are going to want to stay in touch. Where can they find you? How can they keep in touch with you?
Yeah. So definitely go check out the podcast, Emotionally Uncomfortable. You can follow me on Instagram at Heather Chauvin, C-H-A-U-V-I-N. That's how you spell my last name. And I have a really interesting life alignment quiz that you can check out. Shows you which bucket to focus on first and kind of which area or kind of which layer you're in if you're in survival state momentum. So you answer 20 questions, it spits it out for you. So you can go to heatherchauvin.com/life-quiz. And yeah, it's like a 2-minute quiz.
And they can also find your TED Talk on that website.
For sure.
Which I'm really excited to listen to after this interview. I think that's what I'm going to do right now. So I'm super excited to hear it. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. If you want to really, really help me out, subscribe, rate, review, take a screenshot of you listening to this podcast, tag me on Instagram at Rebecca E. Whitman. I'll definitely give you a shout out. We really appreciate our listeners, and we know that your word of mouth is how we grow. So share this with a friend who is struggling with some of the great things that Heather talked about: burnout, perfectionism, guilt, all the things that so many people, you know, are struggling with. Share the podcast with them. Be a little bright light in their day. I love when people share podcasts with me. They really help me out. So thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks, Heather, for being on the show. I'm Rebecca Whitman, your host of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show, where we are taking you from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and your hands clean. Bye, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show. Please rate, subscribe, and review this podcast. If you or someone you know feels stuck and needs more abundance and balance in their life, please go to my link tree in the show notes to schedule your complimentary breakthrough call. I look forward to hearing from you, and we'll see you on the next podcast episode.